Good morning, I'm Pastor Joel. As we all continue to figure out how to navigate these uncharted waters during the COVID-19 pandemic, the members of Namekagon Congregational UCC in Earle continue to practice social distancing and limit our gathering for our safety and our community's safety. While we continue to worship together on Zoom, we also broadcast our message here on Muskie 101 every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. so those without computers or high-speed internet can join us. This morning's scripture reading comes from the book of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. 80% of life is just showing up. This is a well-known quote often attributed to actor and director Woody Allen, and it indicates the importance of presence in life. And it makes sense. After all, you can't get ahead if you aren't there to receive it. In times of crisis, a friend's simple presence is often worth the most. A child or teenager in a school production or sporting event will scan the crowd for a familiar face to cheer them on. Showing up matters. Present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, Paul writes. It's the ancient version of this quote, reminding believers of the importance of showing up for God. Here in Romans, Paul lays out that how we engage our physical selves is a reflection of our faith. He puts it in terms that believers in Rome would probably have understood, referencing practices of sacrifice. But instead of a specific animal brought to the temple, Paul calls it a living sacrifice, a phrase that plays on what is known with something new. For Paul, our presence is not some sacrifice that ends in death, but instead is a consecration or dedication to the will and work of God that is life-giving. It marks renewal and wholeness and is even included in many of our communion prayers as a sign that we wish to be made new by God at Christ's table. And so we present ourselves freely and openly, trusting that when we show up, God does too. But as another cliched phrase goes, showing up is half the battle. For Paul, there is more to embodied faith than just physical presence. It also involves an opening of the mind. An opening of the mind refers to being more aware and in tune. And our bodies and our minds are connected, and they do their best work together as a team. In order to be our most faithful selves, we need to wrap our minds around things in new ways, ways that push and challenge us to better examine ourselves, our communities, and the world. We have to do more than just show up. We have to think about it too. It's easy to fall into the trap of just going through the motions without really engaging our minds. This is especially true when it comes to our worship. We like to be lulled and comforted, and sometimes that's what we need, a sanctuary from all the chaos and conflict that is happening in our world, a haven from the shouting pundits and the not-so-funny memes and arguments in the comment threads on Facebook. But I don't think that's what Paul had in mind for the early church, certainly not in Romans. If anything, the Roman Church had a very persuasive argument for the need for shelter and separation from the world. They were under attack, persecuted by the empire, forced into hiding because of very real risks. But even then, perhaps, especially when the world was at odds, Paul called them to reflect on the ways of the world so that they would not conform to the evils that surrounded them, but could be transformed by the renewing of their minds, something that happened in the context of true, authentic worship within the body of Christ. A seminary friend posted a genuine question earlier this week asking, how important is it to you for current events to be addressed specifically in worship? And the responses varied, but all seemed to point to the fact that our time together of worship should include wrestling with the issues of our world, not as partisan or policy debates, but rather in relationship to our understanding of what it means to be part of the kingdom of God. We must hear the words of Scripture, not just as ancient texts, but as the Word of God here and now, to us in our context too. In the United Church of Christ, we like to say that God is still speaking. We have to trust that the church, particularly in our worship, can be a place where transformation can happen. In fact, we need to come expecting it. Otherwise, we will only experience a temporary escape without any real tool set for what we encounter outside of the walls of our worship, and are likely to fall into patterns of old ways and old thinking, conforming to the world as we blend in. Paul insisted that God is calling us forward into a new, transformed way of being. We have to be a people who embody, body and mind, what it means to live with Jesus Christ as our Lord, not anyone or anything else. Worship can be a place where we find a balance point of human initiative and divine intervention as we grapple with the concerns of our day and seek to understand what the will of God is in the midst of it. When we are transformed, we are able to be a true witness to the work of Jesus Christ. The beginning point of that witness starts with us. It starts with our honest and humble admission that we are prone to conforming to the world's standards for life, and that through our conforming, through our inaction, and through our silence, we have been complicit in the escalation of discord and disharmony within our society. This is a part of the renewing of minds that has to take place within us to live into our identity as the transformed body of Christ. As I have reflected on the role of racism in our lives over the past several months, I've discovered a scale which was developed a few years ago by a psychologist as a way to illustrate and identify the racial bias we all experience on some level. And it resonated with me in a humbling way, reminding me that I can't just talk about the issues of racism in our country as if I have not been a part of them. I haven't donned a hood or openly discriminated against a person of color, but that doesn't mean I have not been racist. As I scanned the chart, I identified with moments of awareness in which I have noted that my experience as a white, heterosexual, tall man has been largely privileged and different from what many who are not in these majority categories find. But as I looked at some of the other phrase descriptions, I had a lump in my throat as I realized how I have been guilty of thinking, at the very least, some of these things that are more towards the side of racism than what I would like to admit. And so I confess before you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that I have not been perfect. I have been racist. And I am praying for God to work through that and to renew my mind and lead me more into modeling Christ's love, just as ardently as I am praying for that to happen in the hearts and minds of those who are at every point of the spectrum on that chart. And I am extremely grateful to be able to do this hard work in the context of a faith community. Transformations, big and small, do not happen alone. The second part of today's reading reminds us that God's work isn't just a solitary event of internal change. It is an act of community. As such, we are reminded to not get too big of a head, but instead consider what our transformed selves might offer. We have been transformed for a reason, to be part of the body of Christ in the world. During the Civil Rights Movement, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had this to say about our work. Human progress never rolls in on wheels of inevitability. It comes through the tireless efforts of men willing to be co-workers with God. And without this hard work, time itself becomes an ally of the forces of social stagnation. We must use time creatively in the knowledge that the time is always ripe to do right. Paul invites us to participate in that through the genuine giving of ourselves as a living sacrifice before God, opening ourselves in body and mind to the work God might do in us, with us, and through us. Our passage begins with Paul begging his listeners to action using the words, "I appeal to you." The word in Greek, parakalo, is closely related to the word John's Gospel uses to describe the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete. This is not just some command. The language exudes invitation. Paul is encouraging his readers and us to respond to our faith by offering ourselves to be transformed by God and engaged in the work of God's kingdom. Romans 12 is a call to action for the church in the present age. It starts by showing up. It continues by trying to wrap our minds around the issues of our world and the holiness of God's will for us in it. It leads us into being the body of Christ, and it places us in the position to renew our commitments as followers of Jesus Christ. Church history is rich with such moments. In the 1980s, the Dutch Reformed Mission Church in South Africa put together a formal statement of faith, something we often call a confession, that began with a letter which said, in part, "We are deeply conscious that moments of such seriousness can arise in the life of the church that it may feel the need to confess its faith anew in light of a specific situation. We are aware that such an act of confession is not lightly undertaken, but only to be undertaken if it is considered that the heart of the gospel is so threatened by it to be at stake. In our judgment, the present situation in our country calls for such a decision. Accordingly, we make this confession not as a contribution to a theological debate, nor as a new summary of our beliefs, but as a cry from the heart, as something we are obliged to do for the sake of the gospel in view of the times in which we stand. Therefore, we speak pleadingly rather than accusingly. We plead for reconciliation and call for a process of soul-searching together, a joint wrestling with the issues, and a readiness to repent in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." These words introduced Belhar Confession, written in response to the horrors of apartheid, that also presents ringing truths for us today. When sin threatens to corrupt the fabric of our society, when evil creates division among God's children, constructs systems and condones hostile actions and attitudes which demean and degrade the worth of any person or group, and incites violence and destruction, the Christian community must respond by reclaiming what it is that we believe and who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. It can only happen if we are presenting ourselves to be transformed by God and working to find our place in God's community. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to take part in this joyous thing God is offering. Hear Paul's words in verses 1 and 2 as an encouragement and a charge to you in these moments, made fresh to our modern ears by Eugene Peterson's adaption in The Message. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for God. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. May we be transformed in this way. From the members of the Namekagon UCC in Earle, may you have a safe and blessed week. Tune in next Sunday at 10:30 a.m. for another message. And when we begin to meet in person for worship again, I hope you will consider visiting. If you've heard our message before, and even if you have not, I implore you to explore the United Church of Christ, where when we say a just world for all, we mean a just world for all.